Welcome. We are going to carry on our study of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And today we are looking at discipleship. And we have been looking at what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And the starting point always is Jesus. And he called these men to follow him. And just as any rabbi, he taught them and he showed them how to live. But at the heart of discipleship is community. Community is to be and is at the heart of discipleship. So disciples are not only called to follow Jesus, to walk close to Jesus, to obey him, to seek to behave like him, and all this through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, but they are called together. They are called to community. There are no lone rangers in God's economy. And even the lone ranger had Tonto. Okay? Right. So what we're going to look at today is the whole idea of community, which is, if this works, no it doesn't, okay, let's go here. So community is God's idea. Community has always been at the heart of who God is and what God is doing in the world. Community says you will never walk alone. And we know that in the beginning, when God created Adam, he said it is not good for man to be alone. And wasn't he right? What would happen if it was just man? I mean, the world is a mess, but if there's only men in it, well, I know all you women are having a good old smile and a dunt at your husband next door, but it's true. It is not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is not part of God's economy. And we know this, he called Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. And that is exactly what he did. It wasn't just calling Abraham, but calling Abraham as the father of a community, which was a great nation. And then we go to the 12 tribes of Israel. Each tribe, a community in itself, to hear from God and to live for God. And then we have Jesus, who calls the 12 to follow him. And within that 12, there's a little group of 3 who actually seem to be where the action is with Jesus, quite close to him. But there is Jesus and the 12. And what Jesus is doing is he is building community. His way is to build community into the lives of these people. And then we have read today about the Acts of the Apostles. And we have a snippet in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and following, of what church was like. It was a community. Look at what it says. They devoted themselves, not he or she, they, verse 43, everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 44, all the believers were together. In verse 46, every day they continued to meet together. And then they broke bread together. It's about community. And that is what Jesus is building in the beginning of his church. But let's look at church as community. What is church? So here is the actual Greek word for church. It's ecclesia, from which we get words like ecclesiastical. It's used over 120 times in the New Testament. It's used 23 times in the Acts, and it's used by Paul 46 times. So that gives you the understanding that ecclesia is a very, very important word, and it's the word to describe church, but not church as you know it or I know it. The word is made up of two little phrases, two compounds, ek, which is a preposition, which means out of, and kalio, the verb, means to call. So it's to be called out of. And this is the original view, understanding of the word ecclesia, which is used to describe the people of God. They are called out of darkness into light. They are called out of society into God's new society. This is what the word means. And Jesus starts with this small group of people, calling them out of their work to follow him. And this is the meaning of ecclesia. So when we look at what is church, then first of all, we have to say the church is not a building in the New Testament. The church are people called out by God. That's very important. I know we call this building a church, but if you went back to Paul's understanding of ecclesia, you would never have ecclesia used as a building. It's used as a community, as a people. Secondly, Christians are those who are called out of the old life and into the new life with Jesus, and called out of the darkness of their sin into the light of God's grace and forgiveness. And that is very important for us to understand. The community of disciples. Let's look and go back there to see if we can understand a bit more of what it means to be church as Jesus understood it. Jesus calls individuals not to stay in isolation, but to join the new community of God's people. And isolation is one of the greatest weapons of Satan against the church. To isolate people, to get them away from the community of believers. Just like a hot coal in a fire, and you take it and you put it to one side, it will go cold. It is only hot in as much as it's part of the other burning coals. And individualism is a spirit that is not known in the Bible. And yet individualism is a spirit in society and in the church. It's crept into the church with phrases like my ministry, my purpose in life, me this and me that, with no reference to anything else. Jesus did not teach that. He said, come and follow me and be part of this community. Your meaning and your existence cannot be separated from the community of God's people. You cannot be a lone ranger. It's not what God designed things to be. You need community, and community needs you. This is the message that Jesus was teaching. He called the 12 to share their lives both with him and each other. They shared meals together. They slept together in the same areas. They walked, they socialized. They simply were so much a group of men who interacted with each other. They were to live every day in fellowship with one another, losing their independence and learning interdependence, gaining new riches and strength as members of God's new society. And when people say, I don't need the church. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Yeah, okay, we know that. Biggest cop-out yet. If you're a Christian, you are part of a community. And you need to be part of that community, called by Christ, if you are going to honour what God is calling you to be. You can be. There's no such thing as an armchair Christian who just does their own thing and says, well, I'm okay, I'm going to go to heaven anyway. Well, you hope. And I hope you do, if you're in that spirit. But the Bible knows of no individualism, like says, I don't need. What you're actually saying is, I don't need to be part of God's community. I can be a Christian without being part of or involved in God's community. Well, okay, but that is not how God designed things to be. And you may be in a shock later on in your life. I don't know. God may teach you something about that. They were to share everything together. Their joys, their sorrows, their pain, their possessions. And in this way become the redeemed messianic community of Christ the King. This is amazing. There's this togetherness. And we don't do community. We don't do, say, home groups. Because it's the fashion, the fad, or a good idea. Home groups are small communities that enable us to share our lives together, to encourage one another, to socialize together, to get to know. Now, whether your home group actually does that, well, you can judge that. But that has been and has always been the reason for these small communities. Now, when you look at the Bible, you see that there are many metaphors used to describe the church. And here's just a few, and I'm not in any way going through all of them. There's many of them. But here are some significant metaphors to use for the church. Many, all of them you will know. All of you. But I hope that when I put these on the screen, you will understand and it will underline to you that in every metaphor, it is about community. The first one, the body of Christ. God knows nothing. God does not call an eye to serve him. God does not call a leg to serve him on its own. God doesn't call a finger. God calls a body that together, functioning, actually becomes the very body of Christ in the world to do his bidding and to do his work. The body is made up, the body, if you like, is a community of organs and muscles and bones and blood vessels and all of that. And together, it works together. And so what Paul says in Corinthians is that the ear can't say that it doesn't need the left leg, and the left arm can't say it doesn't need the right eye. He's saying all are needed to function the way he wants them to do as a body. Secondly, the bride. The bride, we sang earlier about the bride coming to meet the bridegroom. Now, here's important. You're not the bride individually. I'm not the bride individually. Get over yourself. We are the bride. The bride is the community of redeemed people who are then presented without spot or wrinkle to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ himself. We are together. We are the bride. Listen, you can't get to the heaven's door and stand there on your own and say, I'm here to marry Jesus, to marry the bridegroom. It is not about you. It's about the bride. And the wonderful thing, privilege we have, is to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ, which one day, it's not now, but one day it will be without spot or wrinkle. It will be beautiful. We're going to a wedding. We're going to a wedding. And there's going to be a great celebration. And thirdly, just running on, the family. The family of God, time and time again in the Bible, it speaks of God as our Father. Yes, He is your Father individually, personally. He is my Father. But we are, I am not family on my own. I am only family in relation to my brothers and sisters in Christ together. We are family. I got all my sisters and me. You know that one? Okay, right. We are family. And finally, but not surely, we are the flock of God. And we have a shepherd, the good shepherd. Now, I am and you are a little lamb. But a lamb is not a flock. And a cow is not a herd. Get it? The flock are all the lambs. The herd are all the cattle. And so the Bible, what it is basically saying to us is that we, that the Christian belongs to a community. In 1982, one of my first conversations, and one which the then Bishop Fred Darrant would have been familiar with, was that when I came to Westfield in 1982, I made a statement. And I said this: I'm not here to fly a denominational flag. I am here to fly the flag of Jesus. And the bishop knew that. And that he always comes first. That 1982, I committed myself to building up a people of God. And you know, in the center of Westfield Community Church is the word community. Now, another conversation with another bishop, Bishop Bob, when he asked me, what would you call yourselves as you enter this new building? And I said, Westfield Community Church. He thought it was great. Some people didn't, because it didn't include Episcopal in it. It didn't include a denominational label in it. But the bishop thought it was great. And he did not resist that name. Because at the heart of our church is to be community. And when you look together here, I will tell you this. You may have come from a denominational background. I can see all kinds. I can see Presbyterians, Baptists, Roman Catholics, Anglicans, I can see all kinds. But you're not here because of the denomination, are you? You weren't drawn here because of the denominational label. The majority of, maybe some of you were, by the way, maybe you read the small print. Most people are drawn here because they see this as a community of God's people. And then they ask afterwards, by the way, are you linked to any place? Yes, we are Anglican. And you know something else? I'll get it off my chest now. Denominationalism is one of the biggest sad, sinful things in the world today. It happened during the Reformation, when the church was split. But you know, see, when you get to heaven, can I just say this? Listen, one day you're going to die. Is that okay? Can I say that? One day you're going to die. Right. And then, like me, you will stand before God. Tell me, what's the question He's going to ask you? What denomination did you belong to? Is that what you, well, I'm a free Presbyterian Catholic evangelical, you know? I mean, what is he going to ask? God didn't invent denominations. So get over it. What God created was community, a people who would gather together to be God's people. And that is what community is about. How did we come to this name? Green Pastures Cafe. Well, let me tell you, so because many of you probably don't know. One Sunday lunch at the rectory, a young mother sat at our dining room table. She was a drug addict. Her little baby had just died. She was in a violent relationship. She was physically and emotionally wrecked, and she was facing a case in court. I said to her, Heather and I said to her, we are building a church with a cafe. What would you call our cafe? What kind of cafe would you come to, dear? This broken lass. And she said this, I would want to come to a place, this is true, I would want to come to a place that is peaceful and calm, like a field of green pastures. And I looked, and immediately I said, that is the name. And I was able, and Heather was able, to share with her the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lays me down in green pastures. And staying with Green Pastures Cafe, when I go into the cafe, one of the things I tend to do is just to sit and to watch what is happening. So let me tell you what happened, and I won't tell you who was on. I was sat there, and a woman was wheeled in her wheelchair, and someone went up to her and gave her such a welcome. The woman smiled. She always comes to the cafe. In the cafe, she finds community. She finds a place where they don't just serve good food, but people are kind and warm and loving. I look over to the other end of the cafe, and I see a crowd of young mums with little babies, some breastfeeding. And there they are together, yapping and yapping, maybe for over an hour and a half. They're having community in our community cafe. I then look and I see another person there. And I know that this person has been broken in many different ways in their lives. And they come to the cafe, they have their coffee, and they breathe in the atmosphere of love and care and acceptance. It's community. And when Jane or Leslie puts out an email and you get all upset, oh, here is another request to come and help in the cafe, we're not simply asking you to do a slot. We're asking you to help us to be community, to be a community for the community. And that's why our cafe was voted the best community cafe in the whole of Scotland this year. Because it really is a community cafe that draws all kinds of people. We don't care who they are or where they come from. And everyone is treated with respect. There are groups, there's a dementia group. There's a group relating to mental health issues who meet there in the cafe. They're all there. My desire, if the vestry would allow it, is that if and when they kick me out, could I just sit in the cafe and just be pastor to the cafe? Just to sit there and just talk to the people in the garden. You don't need to pay me anything to do it. I'll gladly do it for nothing. It's a wonderful thing. But not only that, we are community in so many different ways. That's what we are meant to be. So closing, Westville Community Church, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, and may you thrive as a community of Christ's chosen ones. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, and may you thrive as a community of Christ's chosen ones.